Americans, and you're alive. Armed Forces Radio brings you a special rebroadcast with Victor Young and the orchestra, the Ken Darby Singers, John Nesbitt, and America's beloved baritone, John Charles Thomas.
Dear friends, this is John Charles Thomas. Well, here we are again with another half hour of song, story, and music for you men and women in the armed forces of the United Nations. For story, we have John Nesbitt, one of America's best. For music, there's Victor Young and the orchestra. And for song, the Ken Darby Chorus and myself. And now, Vic, with the preliminaries over, let's get started. I have a Scottish song to warm up on today, and the name of it is Bonnie George Campbell.
Hee upon a heerant and low upon tay, Bonnie George Campbell rode out on a day. Saddled and bridled and gallant rode he. Same time is good horse, but never time he. Out came his old mother greeting to sail, and out came his bonny bride, driven her hair. Saddled and bridled and booted rode he. Same time the saddle, but never came he. My meadow lies green and my corn is unshorn. My barn is to build, and my baby's unborn. Saddled and bridled and booted rode he. Same came the saddle, but never came he. Same came the saddle, but never came he.
The show Great Day was not what you could call a great hit. It didn't last very long. But the music in it, written by Vincent Humans, was a hit. And has lasted to this very day. Here's a great song from the show. Thank you. More Than You Know was the name of that selection. And now I guess I'm up to bat again. Here's a ballad most of you are familiar with. I Cannot Sing the Old Songs.
Sing the old songs I sang long years ago. For a heart and a voice would fail me, and foolish tears would flow. For bygone hours come o'er my heart with each familiar strain. I cannot sing the old songs or dream those dreams again. I cannot sing the old songs or dream those dreams again. Sing the old songs, for a vision come again of golden dreams departed and years of weary pain. And though all unforgotten still and sadly sweet they be, I cannot sing the old songs, they are too dear to me. I cannot sing the old songs, they are too dear to me.
The art of combining two songs into a smooth, coherent vocal arrangement is one at which our own Ken Darby is a master. His double feature for today was Goodbye, Boys, and If There Is Someone Lovelier Than You.
Goodbye, old pals, I'm going far away. His duty calls me and I must obey. I know you'll weep when I am leaving. A hero always leaves him grieving. Goodbye and give my love to Maud and Flo. Tell all the girls I know. Just like a soldier boy, I plunge into the strife to battle for my life. Goodbye, boys. I'm going to be married tomorrow. Goodbye, boys. I'm going from sunshine to sorrow. Hanging round the town at night, no more staying out till broad daylight. I'm going to rehearse for better or for worse. So goodbye, 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 goodbye,
boy. If there is someone.
Oh. waiting at the old stage door. No more phoning from the old drugstore. Pauline and Juliet, our names I must forget. So goodbye, goodbye.
This is John Charles Thomas. John Nesbitt has again been hunting in the laboratories of science for his dramatic stories. And today he has another true example of his own formula for entertainment. John Nesbitt.
One of the very strangest tales that I have come across in the passing parade in many a day concerns the odd fact that right now one of the most magnificent weapons used by American troops battling against the Nazi army is a weapon that came to them from a man who lived in the country that was the first victim of Nazi aggression. Now, the name of this giant-like weapon is NH2C6H4SO2NH2. 36 years ago, a young student named Gelmo was working in his school laboratory at the Vienna Institute of Technology, carrying on a little experiment. Gelmo actually created a brand new chemical substance that had never existed on Earth before, NH2C6H4SO2NH2. He couldn't think of a thing in the world to use it for, so he jotted it down in his graduating thesis, and he forgot all about it. Now to Chapter 2 and a second man. 1 year later, a chemist named Heinrich Hurlein was experimenting in the laboratories of a European chemical company, and he was trying to find something that would keep dyes from running in woolen cloth, much as a housewife, when she's dyeing a sweater, tosses in a handful of common salt. And after months of searching, this man heard about Gelmo's chemical. He'd tried everything else, and just on a chance, he now decided to try out NH2C6H4SO2NH2. And it worked. And while he hadn't discovered the drug himself, he'd found a use for it. And now barrels of the new chemical were manufactured. It was a white powder, it looked like sugar, and it was shipped all over the world. Hurlein was promoted for his work. A third chapter, a third man. In the year 1930, the world seemed to be plagued with streptococcus infection, the deadly germs that are so tough that any poison that would kill them also usually killed the patient. The third scientist is a 40-year-old chemist. His name, Gerard Domack. For 2 years, Domack labored, testing everything known to science, trying to create an entirely new substance, add an atom of this to a molecule of that, and make something that would combat the scourge. Finally, he believed that he had it. But would it work on human beings? In the month of May 1933, Domack's daughter, a baby 10 months old, pricked her finger with a sewing needle. In a few hours' time, her temperature stood at 104, face flaming red, pulse weak, and the physician in charge said quietly that there was no hope, of course, because it was blood poisoning, streptococcus infection, and the baby would die. Agony and desperation, the chemist Domack went to his laboratory and picked up a tablet of that unknown and untried chemical. And at the last moment, he lost his nerve. He broke the tablet in half and gave only one half to his child. 2 days later, white-faced, haggard, he walked into the office of his dye company chief. And with his fingers, he laid a little slip of paper on the desk. It bore the long formula of the new chemical, NH2C6H4SO2NH2. Well, there it is. It works. My baby is alive. She's getting well. Samples of that new drug were rushed all over the earth. Telegrams came pouring in, filled with praise. Cases not only of blood poisoning, but of peritonitis, of pneumonia, of childbed fever, of trachoma malaria, tonsillitis, and even the terrible meningitis appeared to be cured by the new drug. It was one of the greatest medicines ever discovered by man. And then one day, Heinrich Hurlein, who by now had become the head of the medical division of his company, studied over the complicated chemical formula, and something about it struck a familiar memory in him. He got up from his desk and crossed the room and dragged down a huge chemical dictionary, and he turned to NH2C6H4SO2NH2, the substance that he had used
for fixing dyes 24 years before. Yes, he was right. It was the same chemical as the brand new miracle drug which had actually been rediscovered by Domac. And the incredibly tragic thing is that for 24 years, tons of this white powder has lain in dye plants, in warehouses, on railroad sidings, in ash cans and on dump trucks, lying idle and unused while millions of humans have died of the very diseases it can heal so easily. For of course we know that long chemical formula today as sulfanilamide. Today the secret of the magic white powder belongs to us. But above all, it belongs to our sons who are facing the Nazi in the supreme battle that lies ahead. Tens of thousands of American soldiers who might surely have died will live and come back home because of the white powder they all carry with them now. NH2, C6, H4, SO2, NH2, yet which lay forgotten with its mighty powers for long lost years in history's passing parade.
Thank you, John Nesbitt. Now then, I'd like to sing a lovely song of Victor Herbert's from The Only Girl, When You're Away.
Though time may let us sometimes forget, until with but a sigh, the memories of a passionate love turn ashen, cold, and die. For me there still can be but you, come weal or woe, my love is true. Ah, dear one, if only knew my heart when you're away. When you're away, dear, how weary the lonesome hours. Sunshine seems gray, dear, the fragrance has left to the flowers. Ever I hear you in dreaming, whispering soft love words to me.
coming up now is one of those bits of Americana that Vic Young loves to play. Pop Goes the Weasel. The Major General in Gilbert and Sullivan's Pirates of Penzance were living today, he'd give the experts of information, please, a run for their money. I am the very model of a modern Major General. I've information, vegetable, animal, and mineral. I know the kings of England, and I quote the Fightist article from Marathon to Waterloo in order categorical. I'm very well acquainted, too, with matters mathematical. I understand equations, both the simple and quadratical. About binomial theorem, I'm teeming with a lot of news. With many cheerful facts about the square of the hypotenuse.
Many cheerful facts about the square of the hypotenuse. Many cheerful facts about the square of the hypotenuse. Many cheerful facts about the square of the hypotenuse.
I'm very good at integral and differential calculus. I know the scientific names of bean and animalcules. Short to manage vegetable, animal, and mineral. I am the very model of a modern major general.
In short to manage vegetable, animal, and mineral. He is the very model of a modern major general.
I know our mythic history, King Arthur's and Sir Caradoc. I answer hard acrostics. I have a pretty taste for paradox. I quote in elegiacs all the crimes of Heliogabalus. And conics I can floor Picaritus Parabolus. I can tell undoubted Raffi of Gerard Dowson's Sophonies. I know the croaking chorus from the frogs of Aristophanes. Then I can hum a fugue of which I've heard the music's dinner for. Oh, and whistle all the airs from that infernal nonsense, pinafore.
Whistle all the airs from that infernal nonsense, pinafore. And whistle all the airs from that infernal nonsense, pinafore. And whistle all the airs from that infernal nonsense, pinafore.
I'm right a washing bill in Babylonic uniform and tell you every detail of Caractacus's uniform. In short, in matters of vegetable, animal, and mineral, I have the very model of a modern
major general. In short, in matters of vegetable, animal, and mineral, he is the very model of a modern major general.
In fact, when I know what is meant by mammal and a ravelin, when I can tell its sight a mouser rival from a javelin, when such affairs as sorties and surprises and mulweniat, and when I know precisely what is meant by commissariat, when I have learnt what progress has been made in modern gunnery, when I know more of tactics than a novice in a nunnery, in short, when I've a smattering of elemental strategy, old I have upset. Oh, you'll say a better major general has never strategy.
Say a better major general has never strategy. You'll say a better major general has never strategy. You'll say a better major general has never strategy.
For my military knowledge, though I'm plucky and adventurous, has only been brought down from the beginning of the century. But still, in matters vegetable, animal, and mineral, I am the very model of a modern major general.
In short, in matters vegetable, animal, and mineral, he is the very model of a vegetable.
No!
Mineral?
No!
Animal?
No!
What then?
I am the very model of a major general.
dear friends, we've sung our last song until our next visit with you 1 week from now. You know, Vic and Ken and I especially enjoy getting letters from you servicemen and women, and if you have a song or musical selection you would like to hear, just drop us a line. We'll do our best to oblige. Address your letters to Armed Forces Radio, Los Angeles, USA. So until next week at this same time, this is John Charles Thomas saying goodbye. God bless.
Dean Whitman speaking. This rebroadcast of the John Charles Thomas Show has been a presentation of the Armed Forces Radio Service.